Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So every president has had some experience as a parent. Of these 43 men who have served in the nation's highest office, 38 have fathered biological children. The other 5 have adopted children. Each president's parenting style reveals much about his beliefs as well as his psychological makeup. And in the new book, First Dads, Parenting and Politics, from George Washington to Barack Obama, author and biographer Joshua Kendall, you'll discover how the fathering experiences of our presidents have forever changed the course of American history. And the author joining us this morning is Joshua Kendall. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for being here as well. You know, I was looking at this. One of the worst things in the world is being the child of a president, FDR said to an aide in 1934. That's pretty telling.
Yeah, FDR was actually having a lot of trouble with his kids, so I think he was trying to make sense of it. And FDR was an amazing president, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. He was, you know, one of the most effective presidents of the 20th century and was very connected so well with the nation. But he had a lot of problems connecting with his kids. They had to make appointments to see him, and he was a very distant dad. So sometimes the public man is very different from the private man. And Ronald Reagan was the same way. Ronald Reagan was a very effective president. He was a great communicator with the nation, but he also had trouble connecting with his kids.
Well, as I say, you break down the book in 6 categories: the preoccupied, playful dads, double-dealing dads, tiger dads, the grief-stricken, and the nurturers. And, you know, you mentioned as FDR being those, you know, part of the preoccupied. But George H.W. Bush was one of those people as well.
Yeah, George H.W. Bush was very ambitious. I mean, obviously, most people who become president are very ambitious. And he was, you know, living in Houston and going back to Connecticut on business very often. And he often left the kids with family members or with friends. And Jeb Bush once said, geez, I'm glad that at least they didn't leave us in a kennel.
Oh, geez. That's crazy. Theodore Roosevelt, I think that's one of my favorite stories that you put in the book. You call him one of the silliest.
Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt loved to play tickly and grabby with his kids. He would sometimes stop work at 3 o'clock and hop into the attic of the White House and play tag with his kids. So he's one of the playful pals. Another one is Woodrow Wilson. We think of Woodrow Wilson as a very serious president. He was the only president with a PhD. He was the former president of Princeton, but he loved to dance and he had 3 girls. And so he was playful, but in a different kind of way, playful with his girls, whereas Theodore Roosevelt was a man's man and loved to go hunting and fishing with his boys.
Well, you know, it's funny when I read this book, there's certain personas you have and certain ideas you have about some of these presidents and what they're like behind the scenes. And pretty much everything that I thought was absolutely incorrect because you just have these, they have these public personas. Like I wouldn't, you know, I know Ron Reagan had trouble with the relationships with his kids, but you know, he never came off that way. You know, he came off somebody like you knew.
Yeah. There are some surprises. Sometimes the president is very much, the public man is very much like the private man, and that can be surprising too. John Adams was a very authoritarian president. He gave us the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798. Journalists who opposed him could go to prison. But he also was one of these tiger dads and was very tough with his children, particularly his sons, and that was just a little bit hard to believe. He told his son, John Quincy, you're either going to be president or you're going to be a failure. John Quincy lived up to the challenge, and John Quincy Adams was also a tiger dad, just remarkably tough with his kid. As was Jimmy Carter. We think of Jimmy Carter as a kind of a peace-loving dad because, you know, of the Camp David Accords and his efforts, you know, on peacekeeping around the world. But he was a former military man from West Point, and he often treated his, particularly his sons. People forget that Jimmy Carter had three sons besides Amy. He treated his sons like military underlings and often just bossed them around.
Now you talk a little bit about some of the tragedies that happen from a parental perspective with Abraham Lincoln and Calvin Coolidge as well.
Yes, I have a chapter on grief-stricken dads, and grief-stricken dads you know, actually affected this election, as I wrote in a piece for the New York Times in the fall. You know, Joe Biden would have been running for president if he hadn't lost a kid.
Yeah.
Calvin Coolidge loses a 16-year-old son in 1924. Just as he's gearing up for running on his own, and he's just devastated when he dies 9 years later. Dorothy Parker of The New Yorker famously notes, "How could they tell?" Because Coolidge just starts to sleep all the time. He sleeps 11 hours a day. He's really depressed. And before the death of his son, he's very energized. Lincoln loses a son in 1862, And these kinds of losses can either kind of destroy someone, or they can help people sort of find something deep within. Lincoln loses his son in 1862, Willie, at the age of 11. And when he dies in 1865, he said, right before his death, he says, "I thought about Willie every day for the rest of my presidency." But Lincoln becomes this amazing Civil War leader, and out of this pain comes a new mission and a new dedication to fighting the war and healing the country.
Well, just as you say that Abraham Lincoln, that it actually strengthened, you know, it made him stronger. You mentioned Calvin Coolidge, you know, that his depression might have helped cause the Great Depression. His eye wasn't on the ball.
Yeah. The losses can go either way. John Quincy Adams loses a son to suicide right after his presidency. And that also kind of energizes him in a strange way, because John Quincy Adams has his amazing second career as an abolitionist congressman, and he might not have had that had his eldest son, George Washington, not committed suicide in 1829.
Now, you say that there's a tie between those who you considered that were the worst dads in the Oval Office.
So the Tiger dads were the worst dads were maybe Adams. And Dwight Eisenhower was also not one of the best dads. He was very, very tough with his son, John, extremely critical. And the Tiger dads, they love their kids, but they're just Eisenhower had a bad temper, and he often kind of let loose on his kids, on his son, John. And, you know, he'd apologize afterwards, but it kind of has an effect. And John said, "Well, I was born standing at attention. And whenever my father said to do something, I did it."
And there was a toss-up really between the two best, and let's go with the oldest, which would be Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes, people don't remember him too well. He was president in 1876, but he's the guy behind the Easter egg roll at the White House. A neighborhood kid came up to him and said, "Sir, can we, you know, play on your lawn?" And he said, "Sure." And today there are 30,000 kids who roll their egg on the lawn. And Hayes was just very sweet with his own children. And Harry Truman was sweet. His daughter, Margaret, calls him a total daddy's girl. And our current president is very connected to his girls. And he was just talking this week about, you know, concerns about their being safe in the wake of Orlando. And he's always reflecting on the world from his perspective as a father of two girls.
I have to ask you, any thoughts on where, and I kind of know where you're going to put them, but I'm going to ask you anyway, where you would put Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump in these categories?
Yeah, I think both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are, even though Hillary Clinton would be our first mom, she's kind of a preoccupied parent going back to FDR. I mean, she's a very serious woman who's been thinking about her career and all the time. And women of her generation who wanted to make it big in politics and the law had no choice but to sort of adopt male roles. And Donald Trump is also a preoccupied. And the Trump kids, like Chelsea Clinton, connect with their parents through work. The three Trump kids from his first marriage all are vice presidents of the Trump Organization, just like Chelsea Clinton is a vice chair of the Clinton Foundation. So they're entering their parents' world. Their parents' preoccupations become their preoccupations, as opposed to Obama, who seems to be more nurturing And I think his elder daughter wants to become a filmmaker, and he's going to help her sort of find her own thing. Whereas we're with preoccupied parents, the children often do enter into the parents' world and work with them.
Well, Joshua, I got to tell you, it is a terrific book. It's a fascinating read, and again, it surprised me on so many different angles. It's called First Dads, Parenting and Politics from George Washington to Barack Obama. If you haven't bought a Father's Day present yet, it's a great gift. You can get it at your local bookstore or, of course, at Amazon.com. Joshua, thank you so much for spending some time with us, and happy Father's Day to you as well.
Happy Father's Day to you, Dave, and it's nice to have been with you.
Thank you. All right, This Week in History coming up next on 720 WGN.